Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Dave and Chris, and we've got Christy Vanover with us today from Girls Can Grill. Real quickly, if you'd like to email us, it's barbecue, that's BBQ at salempdx.com. Also, you can check out our shows on the SoundCloud. You just go to Barbecue Nation JT. Twitter is my personal Twitter, which I put a lot of stuff out on, is CowCook57. You can do Facebook with Barbecue Nation JT, well, all of our affiliates up and down the line and across the world. And now I said all that stuff, so let's get back to talking barbecue with Christy Vanover. When you started in the competition aspect of it, Christy, were you nervous? Was it tough? Was it tough to get your timing down? You know, because when you go to a competition, you're cooking more than just one thing. So tell us about your first experiences versus what you're like today.
Sure. Yeah. So, I had done food sport before. I did the World Food Championships, for 3 years when it was held in Las Vegas. So I had done timed food cooking and, you know, turning into judges. So I wasn't nervous from that standpoint. I knew that I could pull it off, but it definitely came down to those timelines. And when you have those 30-minute windows, it kind of nerve-wracking the very first time when you know you do a long cook. At that time I was cooking slow and low, and so some cooks would take 8 hours or so, and you just don't really know how that brisket's going to be until you slice it right before you put it in the box. And at that point there's not really much you can do other than adjust the taste a little bit. You can't do much of the tenderness. The accomplishment for me was hitting the timelines and getting my boxes into the judges on time. And so, you know, I did that in the first comp, but it was nervous. And there's days where I still get nervous when I'm at a competition. If a meat's not cooking, you know, exactly like I expected it to be, or a grill's not getting up to temp fast enough, and that throws my timelines. But I definitely have a little bit more confidence in my ability to make adjustments, to tweak things, and to observe things as they're going to it, so I know when I need to make those adjustments.
You said earlier that you used to do the low and slow stuff. Have you totally gotten away from that and doing it, you know, faster and hotter, or that transition? How did that come about for you?
Yeah, that was actually a pretty recent transition. I am cooking on drums. I use Hemsakers at competitions, and I was still doing my brisket slow and low on them about 6 months ago. I was cooking at 225 to 250, and, you know, some of the guys would be laughing because I'm up lighting my pits at 1 a.m. and they're walking by me going to bed at 1 a.m. and I'm like, wow. And they're like, yeah, we'll be back up at 6. And I'm like, geez Louise,
yep.
I'm up for the morning. And then I flew to Missouri and I went to the hot and fast class that, Brad and Tim teach, from Gettin' Basted and Shake and Bake. And finally figured it out, because I tried it on my own cooking at 300 and it just wasn't really working very well for me. But I did it after their class, and I actually just took first place in brisket last weekend using that method. So
excellent.
I think I'm going to stick to it.
Well, it's a big jump for people.
Yeah.
You know, and a majority of this show, I will tell you something. I mean, I've got a lot of the competition people that listen to this show, and that's great. And especially like when this show airs with you and then it's put out there, people will, you know, they're searching you out or something, and they, you know, the links and all that. But we also have an enormous amount of what I call civilians that listen to the show, the backyard guys, the weekend warriors, you know, on the deck with their Weber type thing. And I get a lot of questions about switching from low and slow to, you know, kind of hot and fast type thing. And, you know, all I can ever tell them is if you're confident you can do it, try it, you know. But low and slow was preached as the gospel for so long that sometimes I think it's tough, and especially for the guys that are not in competition. I think the weekend guys kind of look forward to that low and slow so they can get on the deck and get that extra five beers in them before they have to serve it, you know?
Yeah. You know, I think it comes down to the quality of the meat as well. I find that hot and fast Wagyu brisket is going to work better than like just a prime brisket that you pick up from Costco. I prefer them cooking with a prime. I still like to do those low and slow. Hot and fast, they just don't yield those same results as like a Wagyu Gold.
Mm-hmm. Well, the trick is though, and I'm not being persnickety here, but a lot of people won't pay $150 for or whatever the cost is these days for a Wagyu versus what they're just going to eat it at home. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why hot and fast might not work for that backyard cook. Unless, you know, I mean, definitely give it a shot. Give it a try.
Sure.
But I personally think if I'm just cooking in the backyard and I'm not, you know, putting out $200 for a brisket, then yeah, I'm just probably going to still go at my 225 temp.
Yeah. Let's switch gears just for a little bit. What was the first grill or smoker you had? You remember?
Yeah, I had some old offset. I don't even know the brand. I bought it at Walmart for like $99. This was many, many, many years ago. And I didn't know what I was doing at all. And I threw a whole bunch of mesquite wood in there as my fuel source. And everything was just really bitter all the time. And I just thought, wow, I guess I just don't really know what I'm doing. And so I didn't cook on it very often, went to the gas grill most of the time. And then actually at the World Food Championships in 2014, Big Green Egg, Dr. Barbecue, they were out doing some demos. And they were looking for people to give the grills to that they were using. And I happened to know one of the people involved, and they were like, hey, we're not shipping these back. You want a Big Green Egg? And I was like, yeah, I want a Big Green Egg.
Sure.
So drove down there with the truck, picked it up, brought it home, cooked on it. And that was kind of when the light bulb went on. And I was like, oh, now I know how to barbecue. And it, that grill was just light years different than my $99 offset that was thin walls. And I also learned the difference of mesquite wood is not necessarily.
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah,
I get it. I will have to tell you something. I still have mine wasn't 99. Mine was 149 at Home Depot offset. Nice. And it was a New Braunfels. And people have heard me talk about it on the show before. And I still have it. I break it out about once a year just to make sure the old girl still works, you know. And she does. She does. And she's probably, in all seriousness, with all the stuff I have, the equipment, she's probably one of the most reliable at times, you know.
Yeah.
She's holding on to that space out in the shop. She's not going to give up her space to some new whippersnapper, if you know what I mean.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm sure I could cook on my offset a lot better now than I did.
Oh, sure.
Several years ago.
Oh, sure. Yeah, well.
It just didn't hold heat that great.
No, they don't. They're pretty thin and a little tinny, you know, but once you get it. One of the things they were really good at, and we got to take a break here, is they were really good at like smoking salmon fillets and stuff. Because, you know, we obviously have a lot of that stuff where I'm from. And I actually developed a couple of recipes using that one, a cashew crusted salmon fillet. It was really good. Anyway, Christy Vanover and I will be back on, what are we doing here? Oh, yeah, Barbecue Nation. After these messages, please stay with us.
Stop thinking, just itching to pull it. The only thing keeping me. is that I don't look good in orange and I hate stripes. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I can fall in love with the prison guard. I can sell cigarettes in the prison yard. Don't think hard time will be that hard on me. I can pick up trash on the side of the road, but I
Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
Who'd have guessed?
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Dave and Chris, and we've got Christy Vanover with us today from Girls Can Grill. Real quickly, if you'd like to email us, it's barbecue, that's BBQ at salempdx.com. Also, you can check out our shows on the SoundCloud. You just go to Barbecue Nation JT. Twitter is my personal Twitter, which I put a lot of stuff out on, is CowCook57. You can do Facebook with Barbecue Nation JT, all of our affiliates up and down the line and across the world. And now I said all that stuff, so let's get back to talking barbecue with Christy Vanover. When you started in the competition aspect of it, Christy, were you nervous? Was it tough? Was it tough to get your timing down? You know, because when you go to a competition, you're cooking more than just one thing. Tell us about your first experiences versus what you're like today.
Sure. Yeah. So, I had done food sport before. I did the World Food Championships for 3 years when it was held in Las Vegas. So I had done timed food cooking and, you know, turning into judges. So I wasn't nervous from that standpoint. I knew that I could pull it off, but it definitely came down to those timelines. And when you have those 30-minute windows, it's kind of nerve-wracking the very first time when you do a long cook. At that time, I was cooking slow and low, and so some cooks would take 8 hours or so, and you just don't really know how that brisket's going to be until you slice it right before you put it in the box. And at that point, there's not really much you can do other than adjust the taste a little bit. You can't do much of the tenderness. The accomplishment for me was hitting the timelines and getting my boxes into the judges on time. And so, I did that in the first comp, but it was nervous. And there's days where I still get nervous when I'm at a competition. If a meat's not cooking, exactly like I expected it to be, or a grill's not getting up to temp fast enough, and that throws my timelines. But I definitely have a little bit more confidence in my ability to make adjustments, to tweak things, and to observe things as they're going, so I know when I need to make those adjustments.
You said earlier that you used to do the low and slow stuff. Have you totally gotten away from that and doing it, faster and hotter, or that transition? How did that come about for you?
Yeah, that was actually a pretty recent transition. I am cooking on drums. I use humbakers at competitions, and I was still doing my brisket slow and low on them about 6 months ago. I was cooking at 225 to 250, and some of the guys would be laughing because I'm up lighting my pits at 1 a.m. and they're walking by me going to bed at 1 a.m. and I'm like, wow. And they're like, yeah, we'll be back up at 6. And I'm like, geez Louise,
yep.
I'm up for the morning. And then I flew to Missouri and I went to the hot and fast class that Brad and Tim teach, from Get and Basted and Shake and Bake. And finally figured it out because I tried it on my own cooking at 300 and it just wasn't really working very well for me. But I did it after their class, and I actually just took first place in brisket last weekend using that method. So
excellent.
I think I'm going to stick to it.
Well, it's a big jump for people. A majority of this show, I will tell you something. I mean, I've got a lot of the competition people that listen to this show, and that's great. And especially like when this show airs with you and then it's put out there, people will, if they're searching you out or something, and they, the links and all that. But we also have an enormous amount of what I call civilians that listen to the show, the backyard guys, the weekend warriors, you know, on the deck with their Weber type thing. And I get a lot of questions about switching from low and slow to, you know, kind of hot and fast type thing. And, you know, all I can ever tell them is if you're confident you can do it, try it, you know. But low and slow is preached as the gospel for so long that sometimes I think it's tough, and especially for the guys that are not in competition. I think the weekend guys kind of look forward to that low and slow so they can get on the deck and get that extra five beers in them before they have to serve it, you know?
Yeah. You know, I think it comes down to the quality of the meat as well. I find that a hot and fast Wagyu brisket is going to work better than like just a prime brisket that you pick up from Costco. I prefer, if I'm cooking with a prime, I still like to do those low and slow. Hot and fast, they just don't yield those same results as like a Wagyu Gold.
Mm-hmm. The trick is though, and I'm not being persnickety here, but a lot of people won't pay $150 for or whatever the cost is these days for a Wagyu versus what they're, if they're just going to eat it at home. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why hot and fast might not work for that backyard cook. Unless, you know, I mean, definitely give it a shot, give it a try.
Sure.
But I personally think if I'm just cooking in the backyard and I'm not, you know, putting out $200 for a brisket, then yeah, I'm just probably going to still go at my 225 temp.
Yeah. Let's switch gears just for a little bit. What was the first grill or smoker you had? You remember?
Yeah, I had some old Offset. I don't even know the brand. I bought it at Walmart for like $99. This was many, many, many years ago. And I didn't know what I was doing at all. And I threw a whole bunch of mesquite wood in there as my fuel source. And everything was just really bitter all the time. And I just thought, wow, I guess I just don't really know what I'm doing. And so I didn't cook on it very often, went to the gas grill most of the time. And then actually at the World Food Championships in 2014, Big Green Egg, Dr. Barbecue, they were out doing some demos and they were looking for people to give the grills to that they were using. And I happened to know one of the people involved and they were like, hey, we're not shipping these back. You want a Big Green Egg? And I was like, yeah, I want a Big Green Egg.
Sure.
So drove down there with the truck, picked it up, brought it home, cooked on it. And that was kind of when the light bulb went on and I was like, oh, now I know how to barbecue. And that grill was just light years different than my $99 Offset that was thin walls. And I also learned the difference of mesquite wood is not necessarily.
Yeah, that's not. I get it. I will have to tell you something. I still have mine wasn't 99. Mine was 149 at Home Depot. Offset. And it was a New Braunfels, and people have heard me talk about it on the show before, and I still have it. I break it out about once a year just to make sure the old girl still works, you know. And she does. She does. And she's probably, in all seriousness, with all the stuff I have, the equipment, she's probably one of the most reliable at times, you know.
Yeah.
She's holding on to that space out in the shop. She's not going to give up her space to some new whippersnapper, if you know what I mean.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm sure I could cook on my Offset a lot better now than I did.
Oh, sure.
Several years ago.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, well,
it just didn't hold heat that great.
No, they don't. They're pretty thin and a little tinny, you know, but once you get it, one of the things they were really good at, and we got to take a break here, is they were really good at like smoking salmon fillets and stuff. Because, you know, we obviously have a lot of that stuff where I'm from, and I actually developed a couple of recipes using that one, a cashew crusted salmon fillet. It was really good. Anyway, Christy Vanover and I will be back on Barbecue Nation after these messages. Please stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Christy Vanover today from Girls Can Grill. How'd you come up with that name?
You know, it was something that was kind of the motivator for me. I was just, I ran another website a long time ago that was more just general foods. And I realized that I started grilling everything more. And so I was kind of trying to come up with a brand that people might Google searching for stuff. And then it was that motivator for me to be like, yeah, I can do this. You know, I can run this business. I can get there behind the grill. And so it's just kind of that motivator. And then, you know, there's times, you know, in my growing up, in my early adult life, where I would go to a party, I would be like, oh, let me grill that. Let me do that. And I would kind of get that look like, no, honey, we got this. So you go over there, go do that. And so it was that too. It was just kind of be like, no, I can do this.
Well, yeah, there you go. Well, I think it's great. That's how I found you, because I followed you on Twitter. Little secret here, and it's no secret, I follow a lot of the barbecue folks on Twitter, because sometimes I get good guests on the show like you. You know, because you can look, see what they're posting, see what they're talking about, actually figure out if they know what the hell they're talking about sometimes, and then you can invite them on the show. By the way, real quick, want to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef for making this segment possible. Painted Hills Natural beef just like Grandpa used to raise. And email us at barbecuenation or bbq@salempdx.com. There we go. We got that. What's the toughest thing you've had to do so far in competition, Christy?
You know, I can't say that there's been anything tough other than when I first started out, I would also do people's choice. And that added a lot of stress to me and to my family, because in addition to trying to get those perfect boxes, you know, people's choice inevitably always starts at noon when you're also trying to get your chicken box turned in. And so I don't do people's choice anymore. It's because I'm the only person cooking. It was just a little bit too much. I do ancillaries, and those are fun, like the sausage category.
Sure.
Like that. But yeah, I would say people's choice is too much for a one cook team.
Yeah, it is. Do you have plans to expand?
Not right now. This is really a hobby of mine. Like I said, I do have another career, so I don't have a lot of time to add too much more. And I do invite people to come cook with me if they want to, or to shadow me, or you know, shig a little bit if that's what they want to do. I don't care.
Sure.
But I'm not necessarily looking to grow, and I'm not looking to do a restaurant or anything like that. Maybe once I retire from my regular job. But
oh, don't do a restaurant. No, do a food. I owned one time.
Yeah.
Brief amount of time. Yeah. Don't. Yeah. You seem like a very smart lady.
Yeah. I realize that running a restaurant, you're more of a people manager than a food creator.
So right. Just, right.
And it's 24/7.
You know, I laugh at these commercials on television. One of the car commercials where the ladies waiting in the new Nissan or whatever it is, and the guy gets in and he kind of looks exasperated, and he looks over and he sees, you know, restaurant space for lease, and then the next thing you know, they're out there buying, you know, $100 a bottle olive oil, and they're getting, you know, some kitchen equipment and all this stuff. And then, you know, I mean, it's only a 60-second ad, and then he comes in and the restaurant's open and white linens and people dining on very small portions of food that looks like it was created out of an art class, you know? And it's like, I look at that and I go, it doesn't happen that way.
Right.
And it won't stay that way, you know?
But yeah.
That's why most restaurants are 90% of them fail, is because it doesn't work that way. Anyway, when you're out there competing, do you get a chance to, I know you get a chance to visit and intermingle with the other competitors, but you kind of get to, I don't want to say spy on them, but you watch them, you pick up things from them, you know, little tips, little tricks that they use. Has that helped you a lot?
Yeah, for sure. I that's one of the things that keeps me in the barbecue circuit is the people. It's 100% the people. And in competing in the Southwest, I see a lot of the same teams, and, you know, we've become friends outside of barbecue competitions as well. And so whether it's at a competition or not, you know, if I'm struggling with something, I'll shoot them a text message or direct message and, you know, ask them for some advice, and vice versa. People are reaching out to me now as well. And even at competitions, same thing. I'll be like, oh, you did legs this week. You did well with those. You know, what'd you do on legs? Mm-hmm. How'd you do that versus thighs? And everyone is usually pretty open with their overall techniques. You know, they may be a little bit more secretive on their rubs and their sauces, because just because you know someone's technique doesn't mean that you're going to be able to perfect it. So I think people are okay sharing some of those details with you. So yeah, it's really cool. It's definitely a family that I've, you know, that I never anticipated that I would be friends with a whole bunch of dudes that love to barbecue. And that's where my life has taken me. And I love it.
Do you do your own rubs and stuff?
I do. Yeah. I've been working on them. And I'm excited because I've won first with my pork rub and my brisket rub. And so I'm still mastering my chicken rub to get that one nailed down.
Are you going to market it?
I am going to. Hopefully next spring. We'll see.
There you go. Good luck with that. That's the really good ones do very well, from my observations. And so put me on your sample list when you when you get to kicking them out there. When you when you're at the competitions and you're going through all this, and you know, you kind of switch gears of, like we said, you've gone from low and slow into fast and hot type thing. Do you have a chance to sit and kind of, while it's cooking and things are quiet, do you reflect on what Christy is actually doing? I mean, this is kind of a personal question and you don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but you kind of, you know, sit back in the chair or in the motorhome or wherever you're at, and your husband and your in-laws and stuff, they're all asleep or they're out busy doing something. Do you ever just take a minute and reflect? And what would you reflect about?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that that's the moment that I do my reflection. I think I do it more on the drive home from the competition. When it's that moment where all the meat's on and I've got a little pause time, that is usually when I'm hanging out with family. You know, we're drinking a coffee and just enjoying, usually it's a cool, crisp morning, just enjoying our company. And so I don't really pause to reflect at that moment. But on the drive home, when I got all the score sheets, driving home with my husband, that's kind of when I think about this. And you know, what do I want to do? So the competition is the competition. I either won or I didn't win. You know, I usually never get enough money to pay for my winnings, never usually pay for everything that enter. It's not a sport to necessarily make money in.
No.
So I always think about what's the next step? What can I do? What can I take from this competition and share with my followers that will either help a backyard cook, help a new competitive team, help a seasoned competitive team? So I'm always trying to share what I learn and what my experiences are. And I get a lot of feedback on my Instagram and my other social media handles for being so open. Like, I got last place at a state competition before, and I'm not, you know, it was, I know exactly what I did wrong. And I shared that because I don't want other people to make the same mistake. And so if I can share something that people can learn from, then, it kind of goes full circle for me. So that's more my reflection time, I think.
Well, that's good. And I like that. I like that you're giving, so to speak, to people, and giving not only your knowledge and your technique, but, you know, things you learn. We learn a lot, and it doesn't have to be technical all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, reflective, like we said, like that. Real quick question here before we go to break. How long did it take you to learn not to peek under the lid?
Oh, I still look. I just don't look as frequently. So I know what I'm looking for and when I need to look for it. You know, I'm usually peeking because I want to know the color, if my meat's getting to that color. Now I'm at that point where I know, 45 minutes to an hour in is an okay time to look. I don't have to look every 5 minutes or every 10 minutes, but yeah.
I asked that question to virtually everybody who's on the show, who does competition barbecue and stuff. And their answers vary, but I think you've been the most honest one so far that said, I still look, you know, I thank you for that. What is your favorite hobby away from barbecue and food?
Oh gosh. I would just say camping and RVing. Going out to national parks and sitting under the stars, and usually there's still some kind of fire cooking involved. But it's just being outdoors and kind of away from technology for a little while.
Getting away from the, the digital nightmare, can be quite relaxing sometimes
mm-hmm.
under the stars.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap up the show here with Christy Vanover from Girls Can Grill. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't go away. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We've got Christy Vanover from Girls Can Grill with us here. Next week, we're going to have Bill Wheeler. He's part of Myron's Old Jack South team. And, you know, he's one of those Georgia renegades, even though he doesn't work in Georgia. And our next hour coming up, we've got Matt Pittman, if you're part of the network that carries the two hours of the show. So, you know, and stick around also if you're listening to this online for the after hours segment with Christy here. So, Christy, what's the hottest or the newest thing? And I say that tongue in cheek, meaning the hottest. On the barbecue circuit, you know, what's the coolest thing you've seen like in the last year?
Wow. You know, I don't know that it necessarily, I would say that it's cool, but it's what is definitely trending is drum smokers. Everybody seems to be moving into the drum smokers lately, whether it's a Gateway or a Hunchmaker or an Ugly Drum that people make themselves, especially down here in the Southwest. It's funny because when the people come to visit, the crowds come to the competitions and they go up and they like, what is this that you're cooking on? This doesn't look like a barbecue. And they tend to want to come up and open it and look inside of it and not even realize that I'm cooking meat in there.
Right.
So I've got to have kind of my bouncers watching over it. But that, I would say that's the biggest trend lately is seeing those drum smokers out there.
Yeah. I've got a pit barrel cooker and I like it.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. It works. I mean, I could, like you said, you know, you could probably make some phone calls and have a half a dozen of those things sitting around from different companies, but
mm-hmm.
no mas the space, you know,
right.
Or more
well,
likely
they don't take up a ton of space because they're, you know, they're circular and vertical.
Right.
It's not like a big pellet grill or something.
No. You're right. They don't take up much room, but when you've already got one and then 10 other, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So if you could work with one of your barbecue heroes, who would it be?
I would say Tuffy. I've had the chance. I was down at Nationals, the national championships that was held in New Orleans this past year. And I had a really nice opportunity to talk with him and to meet with him a lot more because we were there for a couple of days. But I would love to cook alongside him and just kind of, you know, just be right there to learn from him because he's kind of that legend for me.
Tuffy's pretty cool dude. He's been on the show several times and I've always enjoyed talking to him. And
he's just such a nice, genuine person too, which is cool.
Did you know he was a Marine?
I did. Yeah.
That's pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. Yep. We'll have one more question here and then we will let you give out all the information on how people can follow you and be aware of all your surroundings and what you're doing. So here's a fun question I like to ask people. If I made you supreme ruler of barbecue for one week, as the supreme ruler, what would you, Christy, decree?
Wow, that's a tough one. Are you talking barbecue competition side of things or just barbecue in general?
You choose. You're the supreme ruler now, not me.
I would say that I would want to make an adjustment in ribs in barbecue competitions that fall off the bone ribs is actually what people really like to eat. But for some reason at competitions, we turn in the one that has to have the perfect bite where there's still a little tug to it that keeps the meat on the bone. But 9 times out of 10, when someone comes over to your house, they really just want the meat to fall off the bone. So I would adjust that in the barbecue world and change those minds.
Okay, done. We've stamped it with your scepter stamp there. So that awesome. Will change upon you. Okay, Christy, how can people follow you? What's your website? Tell us what you do there.
I'm at girlscangrill.com. All my social media handles are girlscangrill. I mostly post on Instagram and Facebook, so definitely check me out there. I'm even on TikTok now, which is crazy. but yeah, at girlscangrill.com, you're going to find recipes. You're going to find tips about competition barbecue, tips about just general grilling, like how to grill a prime rib roast, or sometimes I do some butchery stuff too. That's mainly on Instagram, some videos, how to trim competition chicken thighs. So yeah, all sorts of stuff about barbecue and grilling at girlscangrill.com.
There you go. And she is good about, if you send her a message, she will get back to you. Unlike some other folks, I'll vouch for her on that. Christy will get back
Thank
to you.
You.
Yeah, you really do. Okay, well, it's about time for us to wrap up this week here on Barbecue Nation. And like I said, coming up the next hour will be Matt Pittman and Bill Wheeler. And I hope he's feeling better this week. Will be with us next week. And we got a kind of a surprise announcement coming up in a couple of weeks from our buddy Meathead. So we'll be doing that. Christy's going to stake over for the after hours, so you can listen to that. But for those of you who are leaving us now, we hope you have a good week. And remember our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.